ॐ गणानान्त्वा गणपतिगुं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रुण्वन्नूतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Bring yourself to a still position. You can take a few deep breaths. Nididhyasana could be done theoretically at any with any situation, any place, not necessarily sitting like this, but sitting quietly, then you can pay a lot more attention to it. If you're very engaged in other activities, not as easy. Or in walking or doing some simple task, it's possible. So when I look at myself, I turn the attention back to myself, and I put aside anything extraneous. Meaning anything that can be put aside, that it's not there constantly throughout all experiences, then I know it can be put aside, and that I disregard that. The self is said to be abadhitvam, non-negatable. Anything else can be negated, put aside, but not the self itself. As long as there is a question, what am I, who am I, things of this sort, meaning not everything negatable has been put aside. Just as I put aside anything extraneous when I look at myself, dvampada, also tatpada, that which is behind the whole creation, also there if I focus on that, what is that behind everything? I put aside everything extraneous. Colors and forms, the substance is not the form or the color, I put it aside. Tangibility by the senses, it can't be that. The same as color, form, sound, etc. The substance is beyond this, otherwise it would have qualities, it would be something limited. Something that I can grasp in the mind. The moment I conceive it in the mind, I'm conceiving of some qualities, something limited. Something of the world, not that which is behind the world. Also, once everything negatable is put aside, there's no question about that. When there's a question about it, the mind is wanting to grasp something. So when I look at the pratyak, innermost, parak, farthest, most external source, I don't see any difference between the two after everything is negated, whatever is possible to negate. When really investigating, the idea of my being something limited goes away. The idea that behind everything is somewhere else also goes away. Everything limited, conceptual, perceptual is negated. There's no question about this and that, I and that being two separate things. saragastiti pralaya hetu machintya shaktim vishveshwaram vidita vishwamananta murtim nirmukta bandhanam apara sukhamburashim shri vallabham vimalabodhanam namami. So last week we looked into how things, this inquiry, what has to be done is whatever can be put aside needs to be put aside. Right? So we're looking at now we meditated, is that the whole inquiry, whatever is non-essential has to be put aside. Otherwise, you're still with the non-essential, so you're still with the upadhi, if you want, the instrument, the adjunct, not the thing in itself, has to be put aside and negated. I'm sitting here, okay. Body I put on the side. Thoughts I put on the side. Senses put on the side. Whatever can be put aside, put aside. Right? Then also when you look at that, any ideas like this about it, ideas about the God, they're very helpful, but then now I have to look further, put aside. And then you see what's there, right? But the thing is, out of habit I put aside, but then it comes back. Right? People do prayers. Tameva mata chapita tameva sarvam, they say everything is yours. I offer everything to the God, right? The God says, okay, offered everything to me. Very good. Then what happens is, but then I take and I try to control things again. Now it's mine. The God is confused. The person said it's mine, now it's taking back, okay, no problem. The next day again, so the God is so confused. What does this person want? Do they get surrender everything or they want to hold on to? Which one? Like this. So that's why it takes a lot to look into. The habits, to break the habit like this takes a lot. So that's why we listen. Shravana, nothing new outside of Shravanam like this. Everything is there, what we hear. But then it has to become clear, because we hear a little bit till the picture is very clear. Vijay Kapoorji, our teacher here, he would give the example that if, let's say here I'm making a drawing on the whiteboard, then it's not very clear what it is. Slowly, slowly, after a few minutes, it becomes clear, then you can see. So slowly, slowly, as we hear, it fills in and becomes clear what is Vedanta saying. You know, yes, there's one consciousness which is everything, but why that is, everything makes sense. So it slowly makes some sense. Then I have doubts about it, so I have to clarify the doubts also. That's our mananam. And then that what happens is the habits keep coming in the way. The habit is there, even though I'm just, there's some understanding of it, but I just do things out of habit. That's why this one form of Nididhyasanam, extremely helpful, extremely practical, is alert living, being aware of whatever you do. If I'm aware, then I don't do things just out of habit. Meaning, you can't do anything without habit. I'm speaking. Without habit, how to articulate, how to pronounce, how to use words, it wouldn't be possible. Couldn't say anything. So of course, habit is used, but it's used with attention. I'm aware, so I'm aware what I'm saying, how I'm saying, like this. So doing things with attention, then the habits don't creep in as easily. Because then some habit of identification or of going, you know, wrong direction if you want, comes up, then it's easier not to get caught up in it because I'm aware. When I'm unaware, like, you know, you were saying about almost having traffic accident, the person was driving not aware, somebody's driving aware. Unless somebody cuts right in front or something, then why would it be a problem? So this way, when you're attentive, then easier to see when you comes up, identification comes up, these things, not being as caught up in them. So in this way, so this is where this being very attentive as I'm doing things, very, very helpful like this. So last week also, we brought in one thing because it fit in, as we said, this one point, which is, it comes from in Panchadashi, those who studied long time back, beginning pandemic, some point we looked into this. And actually what happens is, this one verse in Panchadashi was brought in just in order to use logic against logician. because the logician can with good logic you can break any, you can convince of anything, right? Like this. So to show that the logic cannot, you can't get to the self or negate self with logic. Logic is a tool, but it's just a tool. It's not that in itself. I am. I know. Do you need logic for that? It's nothing to do with logic. But with logic, so logic is used also, but logic isn't the whole thing. So this was actually used to show in Pandadashi that you cannot prove that some substance has an attribute using logic. So this is really what it was used for. So, but the thing is, it can be very helpful also in our looking at ourselves. So what happens is, the way it goes is, if there's the substance itself meaning any extraneous things are put aside. So if you go to absolute substance, then you can't have attributes, because if it has an attribute, it's limited to that thing. Like, okay, what is that behind the whole universe, the singularity? Well, it must be, it must be this big. Big, small, then again, it has some quality. Powerful, not powerful, some quality. Now you're limiting it to something it can't be. So you can't give it the qualities have to come after. So you say, okay, there's one behind everything. So now that substance will have attributeless, right? So now I'll say, well, how can it have attributes? So how can it have attributes? Well, like for instance, the attribute connects it, and something having an attribute, the attribute is connecting to it. You have a clay pot and you painted some color, that color is connected to the pot, the attribute, right? So somehow it's linked to it. So how can you link the attribute to that? Because it wasn't there before, now the attribute has to be there. Well, the thing to say an attributeless thing has an attribute already is not making sense, right? So how can we link it? You say, well, if it has an attribute, attribute A1, right? I'm going to link it. So if I link it, it has to have some way to link to it. So if the attribute connects you have the substance, and it needs something like, for instance, the pot is porous so the paint can adhere to it, right? So it has some attribute of being porous then. So then it links. So now, if the attribute that is linking A1 is an attribute, it links to the substance with that same attribute. Doesn't make sense, right? I'm awareness and individual link to that. And how does that individual link to it? Because it links to the fact that I'm individual. It's kind of like, doesn't even make sense. So you can't have that attribute connect to the substance with itself, because otherwise it's self-dependent, impossible. So that one we can dismiss. Okay, that doesn't work. So we say, okay, but I'm very smart. There's a diff, the attribute one links to the self with another attribute. Brahman has Maya. How did the space come into being? Brahman with Maya, attribute of Maya. Then the space comes out, is linked to that, comes from that. So that now we can connect space to Brahman because with Maya. Okay, very good. That works. But then what are you going to do about that Maya, the first attribute that's already linked to? How does it link to it? How are you going to link that one? Right. So then you can start being smart. You can say, we go back and forth. Like this one, attribute one, how does it connect? The pot is porous, so the paint can connect to it. How can it have paint? Because the porousness of the pot. It's kind of back and forth. Or one thing you can do is you can say, okay, I'm caught, some emotion is there. I identify with the emotion. What feeds the emotion? Because I think. Without the thinking feeds it. I'm thinking more things, it feeds the emotion. Okay, so the emotion is linked to me with thinking. But where's the thought coming from? Oh, because I feel something, more thoughts are spun up. So meaning, how does the emotion there? Because it's linked to me with thoughts. How are thoughts there? It's linked to me with emotions. Come on. It's kind of like saying, there's a coin, a silver coin, it has heads and a tails. So the meaning, the head is connected to the silver coin with tails. The tails connect to silver with heads, meaning that there's no silver without heads or tails. You know, it kind of doesn't make sense. So you can't say that A is, because really saying A is dependent on B, B dependent on A. It's right, day and night are dependent on each other, but leave the earth, there's no day and night. East and west, north and south, dependent, you know, they're opposites, they're dependent on each other, but leave the earth, they don't exist. So they're just, when you have codependence, depend totally on something else. They're not, and that thing is free of those. Space is free of directions, right? No directions, they appear in the space, they don't adhere to the space. Then you'll say, okay, if A1 depends on the substance of A2, okay, so A2 depends on substance of A3, the emotion depends on thought, the thought will depend on something else. Okay, very good. What does A3 depend on? Oh, there's another attribute, number 4. And what about that one? Oh, there's another one, number 5. This is, science is saying, the consciousness. We're almost there because we figured that. We got these many steps. We're very close. We're very, very close. Almost there. A few more steps will be there. And then we'll know the consciousness. Then we'll know the source of everything. But the science will never know it, because knowing it means putting it in a box. And that's not going to work. So the science, meaning Vedanta is scientific, but the scientific method in this way of taking it and presenting it doesn't work. Right? Only one can know by themselves. So that also we call infinite regression, also doesn't work. So how can these substances be there? Right? Big problem. Right? Where did they come from? If they can't adhere, whatever you do to try to adhere to the self, you can't. Whether you say self is what's behind me, what's behind the whole thing, you can't. It's a big problem. So logically, it just says it's not feasible. Right? So now, what makes the snake, the snake is a living animal. What makes the life of the snake adhere to the rope? How does it connect to the rope? Mm-hmm. Right? You saw the snake? It was alive. How does that connect to the rope? Right? Mm-hmm. How does the whole dream connect to you, the waking person? It has nothing to do, it's imaginary. So, in other words, that's why we said the space comes from Brahman with Maya. How does Maya connect to Brahman? Come on, Maya is something non-existent. It's something non-existent makes things seem to exist like this. How does the dream come into being? Because of ignorance. So the only way you can connect it is out of ignorance. So I'll say, well, A1 is ignorance, everything connects to that. Okay, fine, it is. But it's kind of like when I was a kid, I would always get the 95, 98 math, never the 100. Because I would do everything correctly, but I make some silly arithmetic mistake. That's what I'd always do. So what happens is, you're doing a whole long equation, and in step 2, you make a mistake. You build everything on that. Now, of course, the end is not going to be correct. It's based on a mistake. So some fallacy earlier on, everything else, very good logic, connects very well, but there it doesn't. And the practical thing with this is you look at yourself. Anything, any attribute comes up, I'm aware. Comes and goes, I'm aware. We don't think, how does it link to me? We just take it for granted. Yes, upset, I'm upset. Yes, excited, I'm excited. Yes, pain, I'm in pain. We just think, it's illogical. Look how it links. I'm aware, whatever happens, it comes and goes, I'm aware. How does it link to? Right? It's like the cloud going in the sky. Is the cloud pinned to the sky? If you go out there, you'll find some pins that are holding it there. Because maybe there's a rail and there's wheels so it can move there, whatever. There must be something holding in place. The strings like this. There's nothing holding it there. So nothing holds it there. Appears to be connected. But we take it as connected because of lack of inquiry. This is the thing. So that's where you will not find a way to link them to the self. You can't. It doesn't work. Right? Link the characters in the movie to the light. You can't lick them. They're appearing in the light. They're not really there. They're appearing. So same way like this, everything, I take it for granted without inquiry. This is the thing. So that's where this little bit of logic that you try to link, you try any way with logic to link to a substance that doesn't have qualities, a quality to it, it's not possible. And then you look at yourself, you can't. You cannot link them. But the thing, we have to look into it. Can only be done out of error, that's all. Okay. So this is this whole thing. I hope it's a little clear after last week when it was introduced that I knew it could be a bit confusing. And this whole thing is just built on, this logic was there and built on it, how it's, how you can't link yourself. I find it extremely helpful using that in you know, when doing Nididhyasana Maranam, I just keep seeing, okay, things come and go. How's it connected to me? I take it for granted connected to me, but I'm aware they come and go, I'm just aware. What do you mean? It's just out of habit I take it as connected to me in this way. Okay. So let's continue onwards from here. So we're at number 44. Oh, sorry, I have to bring every text for you. Alambanataya bhati Yosmat prataya shabdayoh Antakarana sambhinna bodhah Sattvam padabhitaha. Consciousness identified with the mind, the internal organs, which is evident as a recognizable object in the form of the word I, and the thought I is the direct or immediate meaning of the word you. So it's starting to sum everything up, because we're very close to the end of the text here. So saying, okay, we said there's the vachyartha, right, the direct meaning of something, and lakshyartha, the implied meaning. So here saying, okay, let's look, so it goes back to this, let's look at the, what are these two? So here the direct meaning, what do we usually take the direct meaning, right? Alambana, alambanataya, by what is the base meaning? What is the sub, the object we're talking about, abhati, it shines. So what is the base of it, right? Of the word I and the meaning we take of the word I. Because a word will have a meaning. Now there is something about that. Word and meaning, it's very interesting. There's a word, like I'll say, you know, tree. There's the meaning, tree. And there's the tree itself, like this tree right just outside there behind you. So those are three different things. The word is one thing. Word is just sound, right? I'll say it in a different language. You won't know what I'm talking about. You'll say in a different language. I won't know what you're talking about. So word and meaning are two different things. They just get melded in the mind out of habit. They get melded in here like this. So automatically points to it. Like this. It's machinery, right? Like the record player. So now it happens, word is one thing, the sound, the meaning, thought, but the object is something totally different. So if I say the word tree and you don't understand it because you don't know English, then it won't, doesn't do anything, right? I say tree and you understand it, but you're not looking at, but you're not looking at the tree there, meaning that it just stays as the intellectual idea, as the thought. But then you see the object is a third thing, totally different. So here, the word and mean, these three are different things, and we take it, but then what meaning does it have is very important too, in this way, okay? So this is what happens. Now what happens, when we looked at it earlier, when I put aside all of the extraneous, just the meaning of I, because usually the worldly meaning of I is said here, the mind, right, the understanding together with the mind. I take understanding together with the mind, some idea of myself, and with that I connect the body, all this. I take all that together. This is the meaning I take of it. Take this, and I take it like this. What is really the base of it? Base of it, I am. What is the sense of I am, not the thought? There's the thought I am. It's a thought. And that thought I am, it's a thought, and usually we connect things to it, but just if you go beyond the word, beyond the thought, just to the feeling I am. We all know that feeling, but then very quickly out of habit, it's linked to other things. I am. And, you know, I'm this or I'm that. Some things, whatever I have strong identification, very quickly links to it, very quickly connects to it. Sticks to it out of habit in this way. But really it doesn't really stick to it. It seems to stick to it, right? Seems to. Because if you really stuck to it, it'll always be there, but it's not there. You can use Ramana Maharshi's method. Ramana Maharshi, his method was, where is it in your deep sleep? Where is your pain in your deep sleep? Where are your riches in your deep sleep? Where is your identification of one sort of the other, whatever strong identification you have with relation, with profession, with whatever it is, religion, in my deep sleep, where is it? If it's really linked, where it would have to be there too, right? Where is it in your deep sleep? Right? What gender are you in deep sleep? Right? What religion are you in deep sleep? What age are you in deep sleep? So it's not linked to it. It can only be there at certain conditions. Certain condition means it's not intrinsic to it. Okay. So in this way. So this is what happens. Now the mind itself, it will start interpreting in other ways, other things. Those interpretations aren't the thing in itself. Because a tree isn't the interpretation in the mind. It's an object. Your mental interpretation is one thing, the tree, the object itself is something else. So my mental interpretation myself, one thing, what I am is something else. That's why we use the mind to look into it, but then the actual thing in itself, when I myself, is not going to be something that is grasped in the mind. If you grasp it in the mind, again, it's going to be, it'll stay as a mental construct. Like this. So this is why. This is where it's different. But here it's saying, okay, but what is the general meaning, the direct meaning of I is with all these things added is the direct meaning of I that is usually what we use, because we're talking about what we usually use, right? It's not talking here, it's saying, okay, what is that one that is the usual one connected? This is it, the individual. This is what usually is taken as the meaning, okay? This is how we're usually looking at it. So this is how we look at I myself, right? That's the direct meaning of I is the individual. Aware, mind, body, and other stuff like this, upadhi. The usual direct meaning. Now, about tat, about the totality, says in the next verse here,
Mayopadhir jagat yonihi
sarvagyatvadilakshanah paroksha shabalah satyadhyatmakah Tat pada bhidha. Most of the verses it breaks between the four padas, some places it doesn't, then we're being nice to the Sanskrit that we're not breaking it where it's unbreakable. The one who has Maya as an apparent limiting adjunct is the cause of the universe, who is characterized as all-knowing, who all-knowing, etc., other things we can put as well, who appears to be endowed with remoteness and who is the nature of self-existence, etc., is the direct meaning of the word that. So we say that, usually that, the cause of everything, so we'll say the God, then this one, we'll say different things. We'll say, okay, Brahman is, the God is infinite, unchanging in this. Oh, then how come it creates? We'll need some power for creation, some power to manifest, so Maya. So Maya is there. Okay, very good. Now I'm very happy. Now I know how God creates. It has Maya. How am I myself? How do I become this individual? Well, this Karana Sharira, which is made of ignorance, and from that Karana Sharira, then I become an individual. I take myself as an individual, and then there's the subtle body, and from the subtle body, the physical body is there, so now I'm born here. Oh, very good. So Karana Sharira, which is made of ignorance, become individual. Yeah. Oh, very good. Now I know how I'm individual. But what is the Karana Sharira made out of? It's a bit from ignorance, right? But oh, now I know I'm an individual, so good, now I'm happy with that. If I really would say, oh, that's how it is, and I looked into it, oh yeah, so meaning this individual means it's because of ignorance. Oh, but in any case, so that is my upadhi, the upadhi of that. How can it manifest through that? How can the light become characters? Through the film, it somehow seems to become characters, and the whole story of the movie is there. There's no character, no plot, nothing really happening, it just appears. The light is there all the time. So somehow, through seeing Brahman, through the upadhi, the world. World is Brahman seen through Maya, right? Through this covering power. Once you're without the covering power, then there isn't any of this limitation. And what else? Jagat Yonihi, that's how it becomes the creator of the universe. Upadana Karana. You remember Upadana Karana, meaning material cause of the world. The God becomes the world, or really, we'll say, appears as the world, manifests as the world. It becomes, then the God has changed. The God changes, no, not God anymore, because meaning changes, and maybe changes position. Somebody else becomes the God. Democracy, every 4 years, all a different God. It doesn't work like that. So then, it can't be like this, but that's where people get stuck, the creator, and keep that as that is the attribute of the God. The attribute of the God, if you take the world, yes, creator. Right? Like the dream, you're the one who created the dream. But are you limited to that? It's just something that comes about. Whether you have that ability to create the dream, it manifests or not, doesn't change what you are. You're free of that, with or without it. I lost my ability to create dreams. I don't dream anymore. Are you that yourself? Are you now somebody else, something else? No. Right? Same thing. So it hasn't changed. So that way. But this is another attribute, creation, creator of everything, that which manifests as everything. Sarvajnyatva. All-knowingness. Interesting, it didn't say sarvajna, sarvajnatva, all-knowingness, which is even more correct, because otherwise they say there's an individual sitting there who knows everything. All potential knowledge is there. All potential knowledge of everything in your dream is in you. All potential knowledge, everything comes from that. Because the reason it puts that also is not just the material cause, but the consciousness behind it, right? The intelligent cause. You manifest as your dream, and you know knowingness of the dream too, both of them. So here also is, okay? And then Adi, and has other things, has all good qualities, all the positive qualities there. Me as an individual, I have positive qualities, but I have some bad qualities too, right? Like this. This one, you can't find any negative qualities. You can put other things like this. And what is also paroksha? Paroksha, the other, meaning not here, not something that you can put right here, you can put your finger on. There. That's why they put the God in the seventh heaven. There. Maybe one day I can get there, away. Right? Not something immediate. Which it's true, not immediate that I can put my finger on. But the thing is, it is immediate that it is more immediate than anything else. Everything else actually isn't immediate because everything else is through a medium, right? I see the cup, through the eyes, I feel through the hand, there's a medium. And through the mind, I know cup because, you know, I've heard the word so many times now, I've got, you know, connected to this, my brain is connected to those together, so then it has this name, right? So in this way, that way you can't grab it like this. Anything else you grab through a medium, the self, no medium, just direct, right? With aparoksha jnana, not through senses mind, which is direct. That's why we said we want to put everything else aside. What's remaining there is direct. There's no other and no you, no something else behind everything and something behind me. Those are gone because you dropped all these limited ideas. Okay. So, but it says here, shabalaha. It's a blemish if you want, or how else you can say it here. It's apparent to be. They say saguna brahman with these qualities, saying the shabala, meaning becomes tainted. The water you see very clearly becomes tainted, you don't see clearly anymore. It becomes murky, like this. So it becomes murky, you don't see clearly what it is anymore. So this. And what else you? And satyadi atmakaha. What is its nature? Satyam, satya, jnanam ananta. Satchidananda, that's its nature. Satya adi, satya, etc., meaning Satchidananda. This is its nature. The nature of that. So this one is what we usually say is tat, that. That, behind everything, that, this is, that's how we take it, right? So now we know what is the direct meaning we take of that. That which is behind everything, creator, manifests everything, has the power of creation there to manifests everything, substance of everything. So that is that. Now we have both of these, direct meanings, right? Up to now, so because we want to look at these differences. This Maya Upadhi, we think the Maya somewhere. Maya somewhere, universal Maya. First we have to look at home, right? How do they say, think globally, act locally. Think globally, act locally. Look at you, think some Maya there, look at Maya in your own mind, right? My own misunderstanding. I fix that, we're all Maya be. So, everybody acts locally, then certain problems that happen globally can go away, right? So if I locally see clearly, there's no more globally meaning, no more universal because there's no separation anymore like this. So it takes care of the universal problem. What about all the others? What'll happen to them? I'll tell you what, my friend he's a monk and he's really just sees the God in everything. He says, what do you mean? And he really says, not from theory. What do you mean by others? There are no others. You just think other. Right? What about, if I have moksha, I'll be free. What about others? What do you mean? Meaning that a misconception was taken away, that you're separate from everything else. There's no other to, what other? In your dream world, what about the others? I'll wake up, what'll happen to everybody else? Oh no, I should stay in the dream and help everybody else wake up. Like this. So other is an idea. I'm separate is an idea. Like this. So in this way. So then, the main thing, Maya, we'll say there's some universe, as long as I'm individual, there is also the one who's creating everything behind, and there is the Maya Upadhi by which creation's there, why can't see? And that one, you know, okay. Because of Maya can't see clearly, okay, fine. But the thing is, as long as I'm individual, there's there's the totality behind everything. But when I remove the individual, that one will also go. So as long as I'm individual, having Ishvara there is good. Having the God there is fine. And everything, because yes, there is the totality. But when I look into it, when I negate myself as an individual, I also negate the Ishvara, meaning what I negate in the God is these limiting ideas, not the substance. There's one substance. There's two sides of a coin, one substance. I not I, I and this, two sides of the coin. So the substance will be something other than those two sides. So in any case, so now we have the two things, the direct meaning of these two things, totality and individual, right? Because we said tattvamasi is pointing to something, so we have to look at the direct meaning and the implied meaning. You can't just jump to the implied meaning, because you use the implied meaning in certain conditions, right? We said, when the direct meaning doesn't make sense, then you go to the implied meaning. You don't take it right away, right? What happens, I'll say, I ate the banana. Then the direct meaning, banana is there. You know, you gave me a banana, I say, I ate the banana. Direct meaning is that whole thing you gave me is banana. But you mentally remove the peel and you look at and take the pulp in your mind as that's what I ate, right? Even the monkeys do that. I think so. One interesting thing. We should check it out. Maybe they don't. I think they do. But in any case, what Mahatmas say that we do though, we take the banana, we throw away the pulp and we keep the peel. Because I keep the individual, but I'm a conscious being, I throw away, I forget that one. I'm like this, I just hold on to the anatma, I forget the atma. So what happens, you automatically understood that the peel put aside and that the pulp was eaten. So automatically remove one part. So you automatically went to the implied meaning, knew it's not the direct meaning. Right? So here also have to show that you have to do that. That's why bringing this up again about what is implied by the direct and what is by the implied. Okay? So now let's see. The next verse is going to point that out. So it says here, pratyak parokshatai kasya. A little hard to read these ones, say a lot of content letters, huh? Pratyak parokshatai kasya. Sadvitiyatvapurnata. Sadvitiyatvapurnata. Virutyate yatastasmat. Lakshana sampravartate. For one and the same entity to have contradictions, such as innerness and remoteness, of being part of the whole and being whole does not make sense. Therefore, an indicated meaning has to be applied here. So what happens, you say, okay, let me take tattvamasi, direct meaning. Right? The God is the all-knowing, and I know just a few little things that even that I'm kind of forgetting them. Then what happens is, then I say, nope, that doesn't work. Right? Examples I gave, pratyak, internal, I'm in here. And paroksha, somewhere remote, right? Where I can't put my finger, where's the God? Oh, I feel it must be there, but I don't, can you, no, I can't touch it like this, so somewhere there. So somewhere which is immediate here, I know, I am. Are you here? Are you sure? Yes, I can tell I'm here. Am I here? Let me check. You don't have to. The person asks their spouse, am I here? Can you confirm? You don't need the confirmation. You know you're here. That one. So that which is remote, that which is for sure here. That one maybe is remote. Then how can that be the same? Right, purna, that which is complete, whole, That which is sadvitiya, dual, meaning there's, it's limited, part of the whole. One is the whole, one is part of the whole. Part of the whole, whole, how can it be one and the same? It doesn't make sense. So here, this one doesn't make sense. You can't say these are both the same if you take the direct meaning. I take the direct meaning tattvamasi, that which is creator of everything, which is has the upadhi maya, which is all-knowing, is me, the individual, who is limited, who is born on this date and in this place, and likes this, doesn't like that, all kinds of things like this. It doesn't work. So that's where you have to go to the implied meaning. It really doesn't make sense. And if people have a little bit of sense, you know, the religious mindset, it helps to pull there's something beyond this world, but then getting stuck in the ideas of that religion. That's the issue. So I'll say, okay, yes, the God is, this is where the God is in this temple or in this deity or something. Yes. Okay, it's there. But then if I take the direct meaning that it's here, but it's not in the other temple, because that's not my type of temple. Now what happens is, how can that unlimited, all-powerful, all-pervading be just right here? Where's the God? In and through everything. Is it in this temple? Yes. In that temple? No. What kind of nonsense. Meaning, unfortunately, a lot of time religion means don't think. What kind of thing is that? That's unfortunate, because it's to help to expand the mind, not limit it. But unfortunately, taken the wrong way a lot of the time. Has very good in it, but then have it for something to expand, not so. You know, a lot of good people that take certain disciplines with it, it's amazing. It really helps to grow. But then you have to keep growing. So in any case, so what happens is, then you can't take the direct meaning. It's not possible. So you have to take the implied meaning. And just as, you know, the banana we said, when I said I ate the banana, you removed the peel. Right? So here also you have to say, okay, for the totality, maya upadhi. Upadhi has to be dropped. Right? You saw the play, and I'll say, this is my friend who played this part. Now you have to remove the part and see the person there. But you're just going to connect to the person. Oh, they're very mean and angry. They were a very angry person. They were very cruel. I don't like your friend. Hey, that was the character. Come on. You see my friends here kind and smiling. This, why are you connecting it? That's the upadhi, how they appeared in the play, right? So you're keeping that impression where it's just the play. So here also the upadhi of manifesting through maya, that upadhi has to be dropped. And my upadhi also has to be dropped. Right? When we said this friend of mine here is that, this one you're meeting here is that one that we went to high school with, right? That we gave the example before. You're removing a lot of the things to make on both sides to make it that you see it's one and the same. So this has to be removed, and then creator of the whole world, creator also has to be removed. Have to remove it. No, I'm going to remove it. You want to look at the essence, right? And then you'll say, well, how do I remove? This is a middle-aged person here. How will I remove the age in order to know it's the same person as the young one that I knew? Of course, you're automatically doing it without thinking. You do it anyway. That's not the substance. The friend is the substance. So those other things are the side things, not the essential part. To look at, you know, look at the tree, not at the thought of the tree. So remove the non-essentials. Right? Paroksha, that's somewhere else. Right? That it is somewhere hidden. Remove that hidden, not in, remove that. And then look at myself, right? When looking at myself, then it was saying, right, that the upadhi, body-mind complex, also have to remove. Then the implied meaning is there, because the Satchit, are they the same? Satyam jnanam anantam, right? That the, you know, the existing knowingness and not limited. Then that's there when you put these aside. So I take them aside from the one, I take them aside from the other, and then I can see it's not two different things. Because the implied meaning has to be taken when this is pointed out. So that's why actually interesting, tattvamasi, when tattvamasi say tattvamasi, tvam is you, right? Thou probably comes from tvam. But interesting, thou is formal. Bhavan is going to be formal in Sanskrit, tvam is not formal. But still thou and tvam. So tvam, say, then you translate it to I automatically, right? I say you. You translate it to I. You have to. So when that's pointed out, when it said you, then it's pointed out you are that. This is what it's pointing out. So when it's pointing you to you, then you have to look at you and remove the extraneous. And it's saying that, that which is beyond, what's the substance behind everything, and you say that, you have to say that and also remove my limited concepts of it. Then the implied meaning is right there. That's why it's kind of like, I'm assuming if we went to a advanced physics class where the teaching equals mc squared, for the first class the professor will show it, here's this equation and it means this, be patient, with time we will figure out, and then it will be clear to you why these seemingly contradictory things are the same. So here also it's pointed out, from the beginning of the text, pointed out, we're discussing this thing. But in great detail, so it's clear, we said you, look at you and drop the non-essential, drop the banana peel, okay? And then that, drop the extra ideas about that. And then you won't find the differences. So that's what it's pointing out to. Okay, so that's essentially what it's doing here. So here, this is the one thing that will operate. If you take any other way, it doesn't work. It has to be this implied meaning like this. One important thing here, why it's brought up and discussed in this way right here, is in general, what will happen is people will take the Veda Pramana. They'll take the Veda is the Pramanam is the right means of knowledge. It's not something that is contradicted. Like people say, this is scientific fact. So it's fact. So they'll say, Veda is this. So this is pointing to the truth. So people will try to interpret in some ways to give it some other strange meaning to fit into some concept. We heard it saying, don't try to do that. But it has to be this implied meaning. It doesn't make sense any other way. Because if somebody takes Veda's Pramanam, they take it, this is pointing to what is the truth, then they're going to want to, they have to fit that in somehow. And actually what happens, this is a very interesting thing. I have some sort of conceptual idea. When something else comes in, it has to get, something else has to become known, it has to kind of connect to the concepts I already have. If it doesn't connect, it's not going to, it'll remain an unknown thing to me. So it connects, then I kind of absorb it into myself, like the cell absorbs it in, now absorbs it and digests it, and it becomes part of you. So if I take tattvamasi because of my conditioning, and I'll take it and I'll put it in so that it fits in with my view of things, even stretches my view a little bit, now again it became another conceptual limited idea of things, where it never will be something that will go in and become that. The moment it becomes that, it's not that anymore. It's like, you know, I took the tree and put it into my mind. Now it's in my mind. I have the tree in my mind. No, it'll always be that outside. So it'll always be outside of my conception, my limited ideas. The substance will never be there. So that's why it's pointed at you, and you have to be dropping all the concepts, what's there. Not trying to create a new concept out of it. That not main concept, that which is there, which is drop all of the limited ideas things, that which is there, like this. So it has to be taken like this. This is why it's something that just to sit and read can't tackle it, because read is depending on my mind, my ideas. Where it's pointed out to me, then it kind of, it has more chances of piercing beyond these layers of my limited identity. And it really does that, you know. I can attest to it from having Shravanam for some years, that yes, it helps to pierce these limited ideas, because you can listen to without the baggage of an individual. Reading with that baggage of individual a little harder. Listening closely with that baggage of individual, it's easier, it helps to point beyond that. So this is thing, direct meaning. Direct meaning, it means the moment, maybe now it's pointing to something else, but it will be, but then I will create a new, an addition to the dictionary. Like for instance, some years ago you would say karma, right? Karma, but in the dictionary in English, we're in karma. It would have been the English dictionary, now it's there. Or even better is guru. Guru now, probably if not yet, it'll be an English dictionary, it'll be expert in something, is probably what they're going to say there. It got absorbed, now it has a meaning within the language, right? So if I take the implied meaning and I drag it into, now it created, I create some sort of concept around it, it becomes another direct meaning type thing, where it's something to break the direct meaning, because actually it points it out and then there's nothing left to discuss, right? It's like it's in order to break everything. Breaks everything, then it's also gone, not needed. But that's a very important thing, that it'll always stay as the lakshyartha. It'll never become something, a direct meaning that you can now comfortably fit it into something. Like Swami Tathiranandji, one thing he says, people study for some time, they think, now I know Brahman. Brahman, it's like my grandfather, I know my Brahman. You'll make some concept Brahman and hold on to now, what is it? It's not a concept, right? All pervasive, right? Spaceless, it's not a concept you can hold on to, it breaks concepts. So Tattvamasi breaks the concepts, so it always become not something that will be direct meaning you hold on to break the direct meanings. So I hope this doesn't make sense in the way that it helps to break the ideas. So that's why lakshyartha is needed. Not just lakshyartha, the implied meaning, but it'll always remain as not something that'll be held on into the mind. Break the idea in the mind. You hold that idea into the mind, like Swami Shivananji says, to define God is to deny God. The moment you put it in a box, it's not that. So that breaks the idea of the, you know, all the other, whatever can be otherness, whatever can be this, whatever is behind everything, drop. Whatever's behind this, drop all the ideas like this. That's what it's pointing to. So you're saying, so don't think there's some, never have a direct meaning, that the dictionary will add many, many meanings. There will never be one of those other new meanings in the dictionary. It can't be. But you, isn't it something that is, can be put in the dictionary, put in the mind? So that's what it's pointing to. So let's finish with that for today.
Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
So, on a different note, before we finish, before we go, this retreat we're planning to do in Carmel. So this is weekend 24th, 25th. So all morning 24th, 25th, it'll be very nice. And That's, you know, near Monterey. So if you like to come, or think if you want to come join us, just send me an email, let me know, like in the next few days, or I'm probably coming someday, because I would like to know how many people we have before, because arranging things there, everything would be a very nice opportunity. Get a small vacation break and things also, and also we'll have every morning a few classes, lunch there. And some people go to the Vedanta class there, they'll be joining as well, so get to meet people that learn another place. And their teacher will give one talk too, so they can hear him as well. Very nice fellow, Lauren, a very lively fellow. So 24th, 25th October, we'll have it there. One thing. Other thing, we're very close to the end of the text, so a few more classes, three max and four classes we're going to finish. So I've been putting thought what we'll do after, and my idea is this, is that we would do, like we did about 2 years ago, I'd like to do a once again, like six class introduction. Even though you're coming sometime, introduction always is good, you can always learn more. And that'll open the door, like here, two people are here. 2 years ago, Anjali and Miguel came for the introduction, they're still stuck here, they're stuck with us. So do something like that again. So some people just hear in general about, without all the extra Sanskrit jargon, make it as simple as possible, give a nice introduction so people will have an idea of that, and some people will speak to them like this. So it'll be a nice way to introduce. And then afterwards we'll go back to some other text or something. So that's my plan, what to do with the classes like this as we move forwards. Continue then next time. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.